Welcome to the podcast, Hopeful Horizons, the bridge where hope and healing meet. Our mission is to create the environment and resources to get people across the bridge from the post-COVID experience to a future filled with hope. Please welcome our host, Holly Porter, founder of Adventure Bucket Wish Foundation.
Hello and welcome back to the show today. We are going to continue to the last episode. So if you are joining us from there, thanks for coming on over. We just don't want to make these too long. I love when people will stick it out to the end and listen. And so sometimes we'll have to have a show split up into two episodes, and that's what we're doing now. So I've got my friend Melanie here, and she is going to ask me some few questions because the last episode was about my long COVID story. Well, really my COVID story that led to my long COVID story. So we're kind of in the middle of all that, and I'm just going to turn it over to her. Thanks, Melanie.
Thanks for hopping back on with us. My name is Melanie Binger, and I am a faith-based business coach, and I'm also on the board of Adventure Bucket List with Holly. Holly and I have been longtime friends and business partners. We've done a lot of different things together, so I know her life and her going into the hospital, which we talked about. She was in the hospital for 70 days, intubated two times, and came out and after that stint and really had to go through a whole process to get healthy and to fight for her life back. And so what we were talking about and what I was asking Holly, if you're joining us, is what are some of the things that she had to do or has been willing to do to gain her health back, right? Holly, why don't you, if you're willing, can you share with us just some of the things that besides long haulers, COVID, that you were diagnosed with? Are you comfortable sharing that?
I don't like to talk about the diagnoses because I don't want to be attached to them, but I'm going to for this purpose. So know that I am a holistic healer and I do like going that route way more. I did fail to mention though in our last episode, really what, so I was intubated two times, as Melanie said, but I also had a trach for the last few weeks. So I was intubated on a ventilator, about 52 days total. I was on a feeding tube for 63, and just like every little step you have to take of that 70 hospital stay, they have all these protocols and all these things you have to do. I had to learn, you know, to breathe and then talk, sit up, walk. The therapy was intense because when you lay there and your body, my muscles were jello. So I lost 30 pounds by the time I got out of the hospital. I think I had gained 5 back. So 25 pounds in 70 days. All the diagnoses that I walked out with, I had one more than when I went in to the second hospital. I was looking at it the other day and I thought, I left worse than when I went in there after I was already really bad from the first hospital. But I got home and there was a lot of therapy. I was on oxygen everywhere I had to go. I had to pull that tank with me and I had to do physical therapy, pulmonary therapy. I'm trying to think. It's been 2 years now. It's been a lot. The one miracle when we got into our home after about the second month after I got out of the hospital, another miracle was I was able to purchase my own hyperbaric. It was a soft chamber. And one of my high school friends' brother had a whole bunch of them. They were going to start a business and decided not to. And it was just like a fluke that I even found out about it. I know her, but we hardly ever talk and connect. And there was just so many little things along the way that I'll kind of probably just interject as I think of them. But I was able to have that.
Well, that's just kind of what I'm saying is I know that there's been a lot of miracles and a lot of different things, but I was just thinking about that. I mean, just your routine, you get up, you have to choose every morning to get up and take. Like self-care is so important for us now, but you really have to take the extra. I think that's made a difference in your life because of those choices that you made, right? And so I just think that can give others hope, Holly, and know that there's maybe just one other thing they can try.
Not everybody has these things happening for them. I just feel like it was God's way of telling me, okay, you've suffered. I had to put you in a coma and slow you down so you could figure out a few things and I'm going to give you a little crutch along the way, literally. But my diagnosis is, and then I can kind of tell you how that ends up rolling into my everyday type routine, which changes depending on what's going on with my body. The biggest thing is we need to listen to our bodies. A lot of times we don't. I shut things down. I was healthy. I just didn't have health issues to screaming at me. And my first diagnosis with the pulmonologist after I did all the testing there, I went in, and mind you, this was my day. This is where I would say the top 5 days, worst days of your life. This was one of them. I wake up, it's about 9 a.m. I think I had a 10:30 pulmonologist appointment, and my gut said, check your bank account. Okay. So I pulled up my phone and I look at my bank account, and somebody had gone in and done what they do. It's called an account takeover, because I have 4 businesses and they each had 3 accounts. So that's 12 accounts. They had gone into every account and taken money, put it all in my personal account, and then took 2 big transactions out. Mind you, I was living in the 5th will and we were waiting to close on our house. So my down payment to my house was in there. They took it all. I'm like, what the heck, you know, got on the bank. I called them. That was a Friday, and I was able to get it back by Monday afternoon from the bank. They're amazing. It's a credit union. They're amazing. So blessed there. That was another miracle. That happened. And I go into my doctor to get my results, and he just turned around on his chair. And the first thing he says to me is, well, we ought to talk about a lung transplant for you. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Are you looking at my file? He says, yeah. I go, I had COVID. And he says, yeah, we've got a diagnosis for you now. And I'm like, okay. I didn't know what that meant. I was already super emotional, you know, obviously from losing all my money at the moment. I had no advocate with me, which is another thing I'm going to definitely recommend people to get an advocate to go with all your appointments, or record them, or have somebody listening on the other line taking notes. That being said, I did not do that. That was a hard lesson learned. Lung transplant, I'm thinking, of course, I go home and start Googling stuff. And he says, you have pulmonary fibrosis. Well, I had no idea what that meant. I knew what cystic fibrosis was, but Google's not your friend. When you go Google your symptoms and stuff, you're dying, just so you know. Everything's dying on Google, right? So that afternoon, I was pretty upset, because it's like a 2 to 4 year lifespan, or you get a lung transplant, you might live 5 or 10, and a lung transplant's worse than a heart transplant. I have all these thoughts going through my mind going, why did I live for this? That started my first thing. And then the next month, I found out I had rheumatoid arthritis from COVID. That could be causing lung issues. I was already like a fake level 2 within 3 months of being out of the hospital. It was a mess. Anyway, my doctors, I had 9 doctors. And I remember being always so healthy that I thought, people are nuts. Why do they have so many doctors? Well, because I had a specialist for everything. I had so many things going wrong with my body that literally I had a specialist. I had an ear and nose throat specialist. I had a general. I had a pulmonologist. I had a rheumatologist. Those were my first diagnoses, along with fibromyalgia and all the stuff that comes along with the long COVID things. And I'm not a science person. I said, better's better. So I just figure, out of sight, out of mind, just keep doing whatever you can to get better. I got sleep apnea from it. So I had to do the sleep study. I was on oxygen until I got my sleep apnea machine. So I look so pretty at night. Then I wearing that and the full face thing. And then I got sensory issues. And so light bothered me really bad. And so I had to wear a mask over that. And remember, I'm wearing the CPAP. And then I have ringing in my ears, the tinnitus, really bad. Sometimes it's like right now, it's super loud. It sounds like sirens are going off back here. I would listen. I found some speakers that had a mask that had speakers that were flat to my ears so I could sleep with them. And I would listen to binaural beats all night or affirmations. I just bought the YouTube monthly subscriptions, so there'd be no, you know, interruptions, and I could just listen to that all night long and play it. I have lots of stuff going on at night. There's many days I could get out of bed. I do get right up. I drink 16 ounces of lemon water. I wait 15 to 30 minutes. I drink 16 ounces of fresh celery juice. And within about an hour, I'm drinking another 16 ounces. And I try to get most of my water in the first part of the day. Obvious reasons when you're a woman, right? But those are like some of the things. The hyperbaric I was doing every day until I started getting some inner ear issues. And so it would hurt really bad. Like when you're on an airplane, you unplug your nose. You have to do that in the hyperbaric because of the pressure. I couldn't get it to do that. And I didn't want it to burst my eardrum. So there's always adjustments being made to what's going on, what's happening. My immune system is not what it used to be. I get sick really easy. Last year, I decided to go to Egypt, and I came home, and I was sick for 6 weeks from, you know, the first week of December until the middle of January. It was something different. I got an ear infection, and I got some virus, and I got a bladder infection, and there's just always something that you're having to fight and deal with. It's a new world. When you know you have a mission, you know you have a purpose because God saved your life, and then you keep getting all these detours. It's like, okay, why? Like, I can't tell you why. I just know that what kind of a person are you and how are you going to deal with it? Because that's how we respond to everything is how we move forward in life. So I'm sure there's tons more, I mean, that I do, but there's exercise in there. And some days I can't do it. I started riding my bike and it got stolen out of my backyard. And, you know, okay, what's next? What's next? And better's better is all I say. So anything that helps move that needle in my health journey, I'm willing to do. My hair. Oh, let's talk about that. Can I talk about that? I lost probably at least 75 to 80% of my hair. It was like, we had to cut it. Do you remember how short it was? Maybe 2 inches long. It's just strings. I mean, it was like cancer. I'd pull it out in clumps. Oh my gosh. I thin it now. I've been, because all of the health things I work on, this is like thinned and cut. I've cut it probably 10 times since all that happened.
You were wearing a What's hat that? Because with your hair, you had to wear a hat. You couldn't even like do it for like 2 or 3 days. You'd have to do it and just try to keep it styled that way for a couple of days because you were losing it so bad.
And before that, there were sensory issues in my scalp in the beginning. I'm kind of going backwards all over. I'm just kind of sharing a few things. I remember my head barely even putting your fingers on my hair, not even on the scalp, not even pressure, nothing. I remember the nerve endings in my head were just going nuts. That's probably why I lost it all. But I didn't even dare brush it because it was falling out so bad. And I'm sure a lot of it was the medication they had me on. I'm sure it was the trauma. Yeah, Kevin's, I'm a hairdresser for years and years. It grows back. It's fine. It's back. But it was traumatizing, you know, when you care about that kind of stuff. And I look at pictures of me in the last 2 years and it's a compliment when people tell me I look good now because I know where I came from, right?
Well, I do. And here's the thing, you guys. We've really cared Holly's stories. The other one, we really kind of went into it to where it was. To hear we're kind of talking about, like, you know, that Holly doesn't like to live in her diagnosis. And she never really has. I know that she's had those hard days. And I know that she has tried many, many different things. And I think if we didn't take the moment. So thank you, first of all, Holly, for being transparent and sharing that, right? Because I don't think if we took the moment that people could really appreciate how far you've come and what a miracle your life is. But also, I don't think that they could really appreciate the true heart that you have for survivors of COVID, of long haulers of COVID, and why we started the nonprofit, right? I think, you know, all of us that are on the board, we were there because we see what you went through. We know what it is to experience that. But I think that there are others that maybe don't have that. The first thing that I want to say is maybe, can you tell us, like, how can friends and families and maybe the broader community better help support individuals who are dealing with long COVID?
I think for caretakers in particularly, I think it's just knowing, you know, and I think it's just when people ask how you're doing, that's a good thing. You don't need the whole drama story. And there are going to be some people that are just going to give you that, right? And I'm sure that's why you don't even want to ask. But honestly, I think just knowing people care, like, you know, everyone wants to forget COVID even happened. Trust me. Do you think the people with long COVID, they're the first people that want to forget COVID happened, right? They are the survivors. They made it, but it's left them with all this residual icky health stuff. There's over 200 symptoms identified now. There's 65 million documented, I heard a higher number the other day, cases of long COVID. That's a lot of people. We will never run out of people to help and serve. And the awareness isn't there. The healthcare doesn't understand it, are the statistics. And so the asking for that, how are you? Really, how are you? Anyone with especially autoimmune or other health issues, I think it's showing people care because especially with COVID, people that have long COVID, nobody wants to hear about COVID stuff, right? And so it's challenging because in my life, I've had 11 startup companies. if it's not fun, I'm not doing it is my motto. And so this is not fun to do a nonprofit. I always wanted a nonprofit and I never could land on. There were so many good things. And someone said, just support something that's already there. Lock arms with them. And sure, that all sounded great, but it just never sat right to me. I just always wanted, I knew there was something. Literally in my coma, I got told, this is it. The name came, Adventure Bucket Wish Foundation. Everything like laid out for me. And who I was supposed to do it, I had it, the company and the nonprofit we got in 25 days, which was another miracle. That just never happens. We got by about the fourth month of me getting out of the hospital, and I was still pretty sick. We formed it. I mean, I knew I wasn't going to waste any time, right? And so we started it. Really, the awareness that we need to create is so big. And we're looking for more people that want to support and help us. It's not just about creating a memory or a wish for somebody and an experience of something maybe they can't do ever again or wouldn't be able to do because of their problems or challenges that they're having. It's also educating the general public how many people are suffering. It's educating people that may have long COVID and they don't even realize it. There are so many people that if you think about that health issue, they all of a sudden you had COVID, you might not, you don't have to be severe like me to have long COVID. You could have had it like the flu, been sick for 3 days, and all of a sudden things start manifesting in your health. That's long COVID. Almost all the time it's long COVID and people aren't aware. And I think that that's what we really want the message to be, is that they need the support. We need the hope, really all victims of COVID, no matter how you look or slice and dice it, we're all victims, but the ones that are still having all the health challenges from it are definitely suffering. So
you said you'd like to have fun. So let's throw a little fun in here. One of the things you guys that we did, are you open to that, Holly? Yeah. So I'll tell you guys, one of the things that we did that was really fun was when we actually celebrated 1 year of Holly being out of the hospital. And how we kicked that off was with the nonprofit. And we did our first annual gala event. And so let's just talk about that a little bit. What can you tell us about the gala?
Yeah, that was it. It was a great fundraiser for our first thing that we did. It was November 12th. And that was the day I was released from the hospital. It was significant to me. And we brought about 80 people in a room and had a wonderful time and did a silent auction and a live auction and had some entertainment. And it was super fun. At least I had fun. I think everyone that came had a good time. I had great support. We only put it together in 2 months because I got the idea. And then I went, oh, this is the time to do it. Let's do it. Since then, it's been over a year ago that was, and we decided to move it from November to the spring because there's so many conflicting things that time of year, and there's some other galas that I live in. I just wanted to have as many people supported as they could. We're looking forward to having that on April 6th of 2024. You're welcome to come to town. It'll be in St. George, Utah. That'll be our main fundraiser of the year. And we're looking for grant writer help. We do have a whole list. By the way, our website is adventurebucketwish.org. And so we are 501c3. So any donations that we get from there, I don't take money from that nonprofit. It is all goes just to support what we're doing in our mission. And that website will share more information about it. We started the podcast so that we could interview more people each week. We have a couple times a month, we do a long COVID survivor. We talk to them and they tell their story like I am. And we talk to somebody about science. We talk to people that are caregivers. It's really all just to support the long COVID community and create awareness. And we love feedback from anyone that wants to share or give it to us.
That was a little bit fun. So thanks. Let's just, before we wrap things up, I got two more questions for you. One being, what are there any misconceptions that you think people have about long haulers COVID?
well, first, there's still people in denial that COVID even was real. I don't know what planet they're living on, but you know, you got that, first of all. I really don't want any of my platforms that I'm involved to be anything really necessarily religious or political. You'll hear me talk about God and my miracles and things, but those are all my beliefs. You can believe what you want. It's more for service. I think that that's it though. People don't, they don't think long COVID is a real thing. Gosh, if you lived with me, you would know. If you knew me before and you know me now, I'm 50%, you know, slower than I was before. Everywhere, mentally, physically, everywhere has, you know, and slowly we work to get it back up. I will tell you, I do follow some people on social media that have recovered. There's hope. They have recovered fully from long COVID. I have a good friend's husband who was also on a ventilator. He told me, we just spent time in Dubai and he said, I'm 100%. And I said, I'm jealous, but I'm happy for him. I can't wait till I can say I'm 100%.
Our stories are always inspiration to other people, right? You've come a long way. You've come a long way from where you were. And like we said last time, you have breath. You're still living, and that's a miracle today. You know you're here for a purpose. What I'd like to know, just looking ahead, what are some of your hopes and your expectations for the future, both personally and then just long-term with dealing with this?
I would hope that we could help create some fabulous life-changing experiences for people that have long COVID. I would hope that more people lock arms with this and realize that we need the awareness spread and the hope out there, because just by doing little acts of kindness and supporting, there's a lot of people with a lot of time on their hands. I'd love to claim a little bit of it to help us. We need lots of things to keep the mission moving forward. Business-wise, let's talk about that. This is the philanthropy piece to another business that I was the one I talked about pitching when I got COVID. That day I found out I got COVID, I was pitching a company. In my coma, I also realized that wasn't the company I wanted to lock arms with. I needed to just do it separately. Now, 2 years fast forward, that is happening. First quarter of 2024, that is launching, and it's a software company in the retreat industry. And the nonprofits, the philanthropy piece to that. So hopefully it will be able to financially really support the nonprofit. But when you're starting with nothing, you know, making it happen, and we raise some money doing our gala, and we'll raise money doing our other gala, but there's costs of doing business and costs of having a nonprofit, and none of us take a salary. But if you want to go check it out at venturebucketwish.org, I'd love for you to go. You can set up a monthly donation or a one-time donation. But every little bit's going to help us to move the mission forward. Definitely spreading the word that we're out there. I haven't heard of any other nonprofits that support the long COVID sufferers. So I keep moving forward on that. And personally, I want to keep getting better so I can keep serving more people, because that makes me happy, is when I can build relationships with great people. And I have done that in the past. I was traveling for years, building relationships, and I didn't really know why. And now I know why. I just want to keep doing that.
Well, I thank you for sharing your story. You know, I think it always takes somebody to kind of be the first so that others know it's okay to share theirs. I just wanted to thank you for doing that. I want to thank you for your heart and for your mission to serve and for using your story to give others hope. You know, there was a purpose. It was really hard, but you know, there are so many lives that are being touched by yours. Really, I want to encourage you to come and follow us if you want to be involved, or if you know somebody who has been affected by long haulers, you can go in and you can nominate them. You know, you can also go onto the website that Holly listed, and we'll put that down in the comments below, and you can nominate them to be a receiver of one of the wishes. So thank you guys so much. Like and follow us. Share this. Just if you're thinking, I don't know what I can do, one thing you can do is you can follow us. And you can share this with one other person.
If you like it, give us a great 5-star rating too, because that'll help share it out there. And we'd love to hear your feedback and comments.
All right. Well, episode.
Yeah. And thank you, Melanie. Our board consisted of a mastermind that we've had for a few years. And they helped me create it from the beginning. Now they're all the board of directors, and it's just been amazing to work with them. And they have such heart, passion, and compassion for what's happened. And I love each one of them. And eventually maybe we'll have them all on here, but Melanie's one of them and I really appreciate her. But until the next show, we will see you later. And thank you again for listening. Bye for now.
Our biggest dream and desire is to bring lasting impact to the lives of the millions experiencing long COVID effects and symptoms all across the world. Please join us. You can reach out to us at adventurebucketwish.org.